Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeVerka Butler is with us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you going?
Right, the US we're going to go to first. And this is a baseball star's interpreter has been charged with a fairly hefty amount of... Were they embezzling? Were they fraudulently extracting the money from someone? Is that the allegation?
Well, they were taking it.
Yes.
Effectively. It was simple. It's simpler than that, really. So do you follow baseball at all?
No.
Okay. Well, neither do I, to be honest with you. So you probably don't know the name Shohei Ohtani, right? Shohei Ohtani has been in the United States since 2018, but he's from Japan.
And right.
Something of a phenomenon.
Baseball is big in Japan.
Massive, yeah. Yes, oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely massive. And he plays for the LA Dodgers, right? He recently signed a contract for $700 million, right? So he's a big deal.
Wow.
He's won the most valuable player in the American Baseball League or whatever twice, right? So he's a very big deal. And so he'd be very well known. He has his own nickname, okay, called Showtime, right? Which we might use from now on, actually.
Yes.
It would help people remember. Anyway, one of his quirks is, even though he's been in the United States since 2018, his English is not particularly good, right? Or at least he doesn't feel confident enough, or it might be a bit of a trick, to face the media through English, right?
Yeah.
So he's always had this interpreter, a man by the name of Ippei Mitsuhara. And Ippei Mitsuhara and himself have known each other since Showtime was about 18 years of age. So even in Japan, they went over to Los Angeles together, they do pitch practice together, they're very good friends, or at least they were up until recently, because a report that was put out by the sports channel ESPN towards the beginning of this year, might have been February or March, seemed to suggest that Mitsuhara had somehow got a hold of about $6 million, right? And had to get a hold of that money in order to pay off gambling debts, okay?
Now, that's a lot of gambling.
It's a lot of gambling. Now, Mitsuhara initially came out and said that he got the money from Showtime to pay off these debts, and that it was something that that Showtime had done directly to this gambling outlet, right? He said, look, it was a mate bailing me out here, basically, right? Now, it transpired that that wasn't the case at all, and that, in fact, Mitsuhara was using his position and Showtime's lack of efficiency in the English language, shall we say, to ring up banks and transfer the money from his bosses, shall we call them, accounts into his own accounts, and then was gambling, got into trouble, and in the end has managed to extract something like $16 million from this famous baseball player in total. So all of this story eventually, you know, initially $6 million looked pretty bad, but it seems that it's got worse. He was fired last month, and now he's been charged for various different things, impersonating Ohtani, also gambling in California, which is illegal. So it's legal apparently in 38 states across the United States, but in California it's still illegal. And then also there's the question of theft. Now, there are some reports which seem to suggest he's doing some sort of a plea bargain. Maybe there's, you know, the feds or whoever it is want to go after these illegal gambling organizations. But in the meantime, he's lost his job as a translator, and that friendship that had been there for so long is now over, it would appear.
And so I assume Showtime has a new translator now.
He does. Yeah. And that's how he's able to come out and make statements saying that he was shocked and saddened by the actions of his friend.
Right. I wonder how he found the new translator, seeing he couldn't speak English once he'd fired the old one.
I'm sure now.
How do they handle that, you know, transition period?
Well, that's true, but I'm sure now if you are worth $700 million, you find ways and means of these things.
I'm sure you do. Right. This story involves Nigeria and Australia. Two people have been arrested after an Australian boy's suicide. So explain the context of this, Jonathan.
Yeah, so we're sketchy on the exact details, but what we know is that there was a schoolboy in somewhere in New South Wales. His age and the exact location of where he lived were not given.
Okay.
And he somehow got embroiled, whether it was a male or a female online or an AI or deepfake or whatever it was. He somehow got embroiled with some sort of man or woman with whom he exchanged compromising images, okay? Mm. And that turned out to be extortion, right? It was false, obviously. And what was behind this were two Nigerians, apparently. When he handed over the images, they threatened to basically send back those images to his friends and his family. And they wanted 500 Australian dollars. That's worth about 300 euros. That's all they wanted from
God.
Him. Yeah. He didn't want to pay it. He didn't want to tell anybody. And because he was so affected by it, he took his own life. Now, this happened around about last year, we think. An investigation was launched into why he did this. And between Australian authorities, South African authorities, or again, I'm vague on what their involvement was, and Nigerian authorities, they managed to trace the perpetrators of the crime all the way back to a slum in Nigeria, and two men in their 20s were arrested for this. Now, it's interesting to note that they've been charged over the alleged extortion of the boy, but obviously not of his death, unfortunately. Mm, so yeah. It's hard to know what'll happen to them.
And that charging is taking place in Nigeria, not Australia.
Exactly. Yeah. But the New South Wales Police, in fairness to them, they've used the opportunity, which seems like the wrong word to use, but let's use it anyway, to point out that these kind of cases are up by 400%, their words, not mine, over the last 18 months. And they try to emphasise and encourage people who might have, you know, that this might be happening to, not to be shy, to go to the police if they don't want to go to friends or family about it, but they need to not be doing this for the sake of $300.
Yeah. Tragic story.
Yeah.
Mozambique, we're going to go to next. Another tragic story. But again, one of those things that, because I suppose the media gets so caught up with other issues, you may not even be aware of how many people have died in this boat accident that they know of so far.
Yeah, you make the point very well, because this happened in Mozambique, and I think if it was any other part of the world closer to home, we'd have heard all about it. This is 97 people who have died in a boat accident off the coast of Mozambique. Mainly women and children. They were travelling from an area in a province, or an area known as Lunga. It's a district, actually. And they were on their way to a small island known as Mozambique Island. Now, there's a couple of things about this. The first thing is Mozambique, or at least northern parts of Mozambique, they're dealing with a cholera outbreak at the moment. So there's been 15,000 cases and 32 deaths in the country since the beginning of October. And there's a lot of information that's spreading around that. So the authorities think that there was a lot of people on this boat because they were escaping from an outbreak that might have been in the local area, and they were trying to get to Mozambique Island, where they had heard that there was medicines available, right? So 130 people packed onto this vessel. It was a fishing boat which had no license to carry people on it, other than the fishermen, obviously. It was hit by a tidal wave, we think, and 97 people or maybe more were swept into the sea.
Oh, so the weather conditions were terrible then as well.
Weather conditions were not good, and 12 people have been rescued so far, but that 97, we fear, will go up.
Yeah, and the cholera outbreak, how severe is that?
As I said, 15,000 cases in Mozambique in over the last, 6 months? 32 deaths from it, and this particular region, just over 5,000 cases and 12 deaths. So very severe, and a couple of neighbouring countries, are having to deal with it as well.
Yeah, right. Colombia, we're going to go to next, where they're running out of water. Why?
Yeah, El Nino is acting up. Normally, Colombia would have 40 inches of rainfall each year. Now, just to put that into context, Dublin usually gets 26 inches of rainfall. Mm. My rainfall is bigger than yours.
Yes.
It's not happening this year in Colombia. And Bogota specifically is suffering very badly from it, right? So there's about 10 million people, I believe, live in Bogota. And just to give you an idea, there is a reservoir there called the Chingaza Reservoir, which supplies about 70% of the city, and it's down to 16% in its reserves or whatever, amount of water that it can give. So there's a couple of measures that they've had to bring in. So it sounds funny, but the mayor, Carlos Fernando Galan, is encouraging couples to take showers together because the levels are at such a low rate. They're also doing a thing where they're divvying the city up into 9 separate departments, and they're cutting each of those departments off for 24 hours. So every 9 days, no water for a whole day.
Oh, gosh.
So it's getting very serious. And they reckon they have about 54 days worth of water left. Now, a little bit of good news on that is that Australia's Bureau of Meteorology has said that today El Nino has actually ended. So whether things come back to normal or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, well, I'm sure, certainly in Colombia, they're hoping that is the case. Right, Sweden we're going to go to now. And they've an app for illegally parked. Is this parked cars? Is this so you can, like, grass up people who've parked illegally?
Very good use of grass up. Yes,
right,
that's exactly
okay.
what you can do. Yeah, it's a Swedish company called Scout Park, right? And they have call this app part of the gig economy, and basically it allows people over 16 and who have a Swedish social security number to download the app, go around, take photographs of cars that they deem illegally parked or parked badly or whatever it might be, and they send them into the app. That information then gets passed on to parking attendants. You're notified that a parking attendant is on their way, and if the fine follows through, you get a portion of that particular fine. So typically, I had a look and I saw that fines in Sweden can be anything from 500 and 800 SEK, Swedish kronors, kronor, I assume that is. So that's, of that, you'll get 100 Swedish kronor, so you get about 850 in euros every time you find a car that's been illegally parked and it's successfully fined. So an interesting way of people to make a little bit of extra money.
Isn't
I wonder
it just,
would it fly here?
Yeah, and no, but interesting, anyone over 16. So, you know, maybe they're pitching it towards, you know,
students. And
yeah, students,
like that,
people are still in school who can, on the way home from school, just, you know, make a few bob.
Be nice, yeah, nice way to make a few bob. I don't know, it's not particularly popular with everybody in Sweden, as you can imagine.
I
but
would
other
imagine
people
not.
Think it's great.
Yeah, so yeah, especially when kids start turning in their parents. That's when things turn nasty. What should we look out for over the next week or so, Jonathan?
Yeah, so there's a few obvious ones. The situation in the Middle East, obviously, and Trump's trial. Some stage this week, the Rwanda bill in the UK looks like it's going to happen. And we expect people to be on planes going back by the end of the week. So that'll be fairly crazy. Wednesday, the G7 are meeting for 3 days of talks in Italy. They always pick nice places. There's elections in Croatia on Wednesday. On a Friday, the elections start in India. So that, because it's such a large country, is carried out over 6 weeks. And we expect Narendra Modi to come back to power without much difficulty at all.
Yeah, still the biggest democracy in the world and all that. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Cheers,
as ever, Jonathan de Burka-Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.